This is North Carolina Reports, a public affairs presentation on the North Carolina News Network. I'm Bruce Farrell, thanking you for being with us. On this edition of the program, we're going to go outdoors, and in particular, we're going to talk about outdoor drama across the U.S. and across North Carolina. We have with us the director of the Institute of Outdoor Drama, Scott Parker, will be with us for the next half hour. We'll talk a little bit about the various outdoor dramas across the nation, and of course, we'll talk a little about some closer to home if you're still looking for something to do in the next few weeks as we head through the summer season. Outdoor drama, actually 118 theaters in 37 states. Scott Parker with the Institute of Outdoor Drama based at UNC Chapel Hill, our guest on this edition of North Carolina Report. You have an invitation to stay with us. Well, Scott Parker, I guess I should say welcome back. We had you last year about this time. Talk a little bit about the outdoor drama and that sort of thing. I guess maybe a good place for us to start is you could tell us a little bit about the national landscape. How many type dramas do we have? Kind of tell me a little bit about how outdoor drama is doing across the nation.
Well, Bruce, thanks so much for having me back. Yes, they are all across the country, and they started right here in North Carolina. There are about 45 outdoor historical dramas, the first of which was The Lost Colony on Roanoke Island, North Carolina, started in 1937. And then there are about 64, 65 outdoor Shakespeare festivals, of which North Carolina has two. And then there are 11 or 12 religious dramas, of which North Carolina has one. Actually, this one in North Carolina is on hiatus. It's taking a year off, but it will be back before too long, and it's located down in Swansboro, North Carolina.
Well, how has the genre developed over the years? You kind of broke it out for us, the kind of the principal dramas. When I think of outdoor drama, I guess the first thing that pops into my mind is the historical dramas, such as The Lost Colony, such as Onto These Hills in the Cherokee area. But obviously, that's only part of the picture.
It is. As I say, that there are more outdoor Shakespeare festivals now than there are outdoor historical dramas. But when we use the term outdoor drama, usually in this country, we think of the outdoor historical drama, such as the one at Cherokee, Under These Hills, and The Lost Colony, and Manteo, and Horn in the West, and Boone. North Carolina has 10 of these outdoor historical dramas, and several Shakespeare festivals.
Now, how does outdoor drama differ? Obviously, you guys at the Institute are involved in helping these different dramas do all the things they need to do or train the people they need to train. But how does it differ to, say, staging a production, say, at Ovens Auditorium in Charlotte or the Memorial Auditorium in Raleigh? How does doing it outdoors? Obviously, there's a lot of things that you have to do differently.
Well, there's an old saying in the outdoor drama business, when we compare the production techniques with outdoors and indoors, think of indoor theater production as easel painting and outdoor drama production as mural painting. So in mural painting, the strokes are much bigger. They're very broad. And so everything that you do on these large outdoor theater stages is larger. The acting is bigger. The hand gestures are bigger. The scenery is bigger. And, of course, you don't get any bigger than all of outdoors.
And how does that work for the folks who are involved, whether it's the actors on stage or the stagehands, all of the various people behind the scenes who work to make sure a play runs like it's supposed to and it's flawless to the person watching? Obviously, that requires an adjustment on their part, I would think.
It does, and I wish it were flawless. We can't claim that, but we try. It takes some special training for an actor, for example, to work outdoors in a large amphitheater that will seat 1,500 or as much as 3,000 people. You need to train your vocal technique. You need to project from down in the diaphragm so that you can carry your voice all the way to the back of the theater. Many of these theaters do not have microphones. There's no electronic vocal amplification. So you have to be able to punch your voice out, as they say, sing out Louise, all the way to the back of the theater. and gestures have to be much bigger. And so there's some training involved in how to do it so that it's not only realistic to the front of the theater, but also to the back of the theater.
And tell me a little bit about the Institute. What role does the Institute play in assisting these various productions in doing all the things they need to do?
Well, the Institute of Outdoor Drama is a public service agency of the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And it started in 1963. The faculty of the Dramatic Art Department at the university had been involved in a number of outdoor drama productions, starting them up from the Lost Colony all over the nation, really. And they were advising communities who wanted to start new outdoor dramas. And it was getting so that the advising was crowding in on the teaching of the students. And John Ely, who was a special assistant to Governor Terry Sanford at the time, and Paul Green got together, and they decided to approach Governor Sanford to ask him if he would start an institute which would advise the currently operating theaters and also the communities that wanted to start new outdoor dramas. And Governor Sanford decided that that was a splendid idea, and with the stroke of a pen, by executive order, he started up the Institute of Outdoor Drama in 1963, and I guess there were about 20 theaters at that point, and now, as you say, it's grown all over the nation. There are nearly 120 of them now that the Institute advises, and at any given time, there are 30 or 40 communities that the Institute is working with around the nation that are trying to start up new outdoor theaters.
And is this still a trend that we might see more of these? Obviously, this is not an inexpensive thing to do, but is this something where a lot of communities are viewing this as a, we talk about economic development and tourism and trying to find different ways to have people come visit and spend money. Is that something that communities are saying, hey, if we could figure out a way to tap into either our own history or tap into our own natural beauty, I'm guessing this is something you're seeing more and more of?
There are more coming along. On any given year, there are maybe two or three new ones that start up around the country. The newest one started up just outside of Amarillo, Texas, in the Palo Duro Canyon, which is a magnificent canyon. It's the second largest in the nation. It's 100 miles long. They used to do a Paul Green outdoor drama, but they switched over this year to a new play that's called Texas Legacies. But there are other new ones coming along. We've got several in Ohio. One will be about Johnny Appleseed. We've got one starting up in upstate New York that will be based on Last of the Mohicans, and still another one in Texas that will be based on the Lonesome Dove storyline. But there are a number of those all around the country. And generally, these communities want to start up outdoor dramas because they're proud of their heritage. They want to tell their story to the world. That's the number one reason. And as you say, they're also interested in the economic impact that these theaters will have on the states and on the travel and tourism industry in general for their area, because these theaters have one foot in the theater business and one foot in the leisure tourism business, because they play primarily to families on vacation.
And what are some of the challenges? It's interesting. I think I read earlier this year that Onto These Hills, as an example, in Cherokee, is having to figure out some new ways to get folks to come, because people are coming to the area, but instead of going to see Onto These Hills, they're going to the high-stakes gambling. So obviously
casino.
Communities have a challenge there.
That's right. And it is a bit of a challenge for them up there, because studies have shown that people who go to these casinos go almost exclusively to gamble. They do not go to experience the culture of the area. And so they're eating up a lot of motel rooms there in Cherokee, and it's a little difficult for the families on vacation to get in up there to see the Unto These Hills and to see the museum and the Indian village that they have up there and other attractions that preserve and celebrate the Cherokee culture.
Well, it's interesting you make that point. Is there, as we continue with Scott Parker, who is with the Institute of Outdoor Drama here on North Carolina Report, is there a quote-unquote target audience for these outdoor dramas? Are there a certain type of person who is more likely to, when they're traveling or when they're planning a vacation, look at that as a possible component of what they want to experience?
There is. Generally speaking, those theaters that are east of the Mississippi will have audience members that travel on average 200 miles from home to see the outdoor drama, and then of course 200 miles back home. So that's a 400 mile round trip, and these are clearly people who are on vacation. When you get west of the Mississippi, when you get out to Oklahoma and Texas and New Mexico, you know, those folks out there will travel 2 hours just to go to the laundromat. So the average travel distance out there is closer to 450 miles one way to see an outdoor drama and then back home again. So these are clearly families on vacation.
It's interesting you make that point. I guess, does that, admittedly, the population is dispersed a little differently in the western part versus the eastern part, but do the western ones have a larger pool to draw from because of that? They have maybe a wider area of people to draw from to come to these events?
Actually, they don't. Of course, it depends on the drama, but this new drama I mentioned a little while ago, not far from Amarillo, they've only got about 1.2, 1.3 million people within a 200-mile radius out there. When you start talking about some of the Ohio outdoor dramas, of which there are four or five, they have about 25 million people within a 200-mile radius of their dramas. And so how you market these plays varies tremendously. Marketing in to Columbus and to Cleveland and to Cincinnati is an expensive business. When you get out to the panhandle of Texas, you have to market much further out, and the population is spread out further.
Well, I was looking. It's interesting. Is it safe to say that even though we're seeing a growth in the western part of the country, that the South and the Southeast still has a larger number of those? As I'm looking at this map, it seems that way, but I may be a little bit deceived. Is it still a thing where it's the South and the East tends to do more of it?
That's true. There's a concentration of the outdoor dramas and the outdoor theaters in North Carolina, in Ohio, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia. Texas is catching up to us pretty quickly. California has a great number of Shakespeare festivals, but not so many outdoor historical dramas. The history plays, the growth of these history plays seems to have sort of reached the foothills of the Rockies. And I think once they pass the Rockies, once they start to catch on west of the Rockies, it's going to really take off.
Could that be something related to the fact that as we go further west, the history doesn't go as far back, so as the generations move on, they're wanting to reach back into their history more so than, say, they would be now?
I think that's certainly part of it. But also, we found that when there is a successful outdoor historical drama that crops up in a community people go to see it and they appreciate it and they have a strong emotional impact and they realize the benefits to the community, then these visitors go home and they start their own outdoor dramas. And so all we need, I think, is a couple of real successful ones out west, and others will follow suit. There's a three-year-old outdoor drama about John Muir that started up in the San Francisco Bay Area in Martinez, California, that's very close to the John Muir homestead. And it's just doing great guns. And as a result of that, we've got a number of other communities in California that want to start up their own outdoor dramas.
How does, and I don't know if there's a way to differentiate, you mentioned the dramas, you have a lot of the historical dramas that are based on some historical person or event or series of events versus the Shakespeare festivals. In preparing those, in training the people for those, which is kind of where you guys come in, is there a major difference between, say, preparing people who are involved in the historical type performances versus the Shakespeare performances?
Well, the historical dramas are generally not written in prose, or they are written in prose and not in iambic pentameter, and so the focus on the voice and how you speak the English language is much stronger for the Shakespeare festivals than it is for the outdoor historical dramas.
The point being that Shakespeare, people expect Shakespeare to sound a certain way.
Well, it's just tougher to do. It's easier to speak as you and I are speaking than it is to speak in iambic pentameter.
And obviously the other challenge, the flip side of that, is for the historic dramas, especially if you're starting one for scratch, you're saying, okay, there's a historic figure or a historic series of events that we want to characterize in drama. If you're starting from scratch, I guess that's a big challenge for those who might be involved in the writing and the developing of these dramas.
It is, and it takes a lot of research. And there's some people who misunderstand the mission of the outdoor historical drama. They're there to preserve and to celebrate the heritage, but they're not documentaries. They don't dramatize every footprint in the snow. They are plays that are based on history, but they don't replicate the historical events. And so oftentimes there are characters who actually lived based on history, historical characters such as at the Lost Colony, you've got Queen Elizabeth and Sir Walter Raleigh and so on. But there also often are fictitious characters or characters who are combined. So there's several characters who make up one person, several people who once lived.
So the idea is to give you a flavor of what the situation was like. And if you really want to know more about the actual nuts and bolts history, usually these places are located near historical sites, museums, places where folks, if they, you know, are really into whatever the play is about, can find out more.
That's right. And it's not to say that the plays, I mean, the plays try very hard to be historically accurate, but history oftentimes is not quite as dramatic. We don't find it as exciting sometimes as we would in a play. So we take a little dramatic license with it.
What we're going to do right now is take our mid-program break. And when we resume, we'll talk some more about outdoor drama, maybe talk a little bit more about some of the ones in North Carolina that are ongoing this year. As we visit with Scott Parker, he is with the Institute of Outdoor Drama that is based at UNC Chapel Hill, but it provides assistance to a number of outdoor dramas. In fact, almost 120 in 37 states are being put on as we speak. So we'll continue that conversation with Scott Parker in just a few moments here on North Carolina Reports on the North Carolina News Network. Again, more in a moment.
My son had a problem. He was bored at his public school, so I helped change it into a new kind of school, one with the curriculum that really motivates kids, a school that has extended hours 6 days a week year-round, filled with loads of academic, cultural, and recreational activities, one with medical, dental, and eye care right there, where parents are encouraged to be involved at all levels as early as possible. A school where teachers have more time to teach and students are excited about learning. But now there's another problem. He's having so much fun, he doesn't want to leave school. You can turn your public school into a community school for excellence. Find out how. Call 1-877-LOVE-TO-LEARN and get the information you need to get started.
A message from the Children's Aid Society, the Coalition for Community Schools, and the Ad Council.
As we continue on, this is North Carolina Report here on the North Carolina News Network. I'm Bruce Farrell, thanking you for being with us. Our topic on the program, outdoor drama. We have Scott Parker with us. He is with the Institute of Outdoor Drama, which is at UNC Chapel Hill, and provides a resource to the some 120 outdoor dramas, historical dramas, Shakespeare festivals, a lot of different types of things for people to see and do all across the country. Later in the program, we'll also tell you about a new way or a more elaborate way for you to find out if such a drama is taking place, where you're headed, if you're doing some vacation planning or long weekend planning or what have you. Here, there's a website that we're going to be able to talk to you about in just a few minutes. Well, Scott, let's talk a little bit about North Carolina. We've talked a little bit in the program already about the genre in general and some of the trends nationally. But as far as North Carolina, maybe you could just give us a quick synopsis of what we have to offer in terms of outdoor drama across the state of North Carolina.
Well, as we start from the east, we'll go from Manteo, where they produced The Lost Colony. It's been produced there since 1937. And then moving west, there's a very historic community of Halifax, North Carolina, where on the state historic site, they produce a play called First for Freedom. And then here in Raleigh, there's a production of, I think many people will be familiar with this storyline because of the movie called The Amistad Saga. And then a small community west of that, between Chapel Hill and Burlington, small community of Snow Camp, they produce two outdoor historical dramas. The first one is called The Sword of Peace, and it's now 30 years old. They just celebrated their 30th anniversary. And the other outdoor historical drama that they produce there is called Pathway to Freedom. Then moving a little further west, up in the mountains in Boone, they produce Horn in the West, a Kermit Hunter outdoor drama, which is actually the third oldest running outdoor drama in the nation. In Asheville, there's a Shakespeare festival called the Monford Park Players. And then way out west in Cherokee, Unto These Hills, which is the second oldest, longest running outdoor drama in the nation.
So we have in North Carolina, if I'm correct here, the three oldest continuous running dramas.
That's right.
Right. Didn't want to throw you off there. You were at Unto These Hills. Now you're going to work your way back, I guess. Down
okay, well, we will. We'll work back in Forest City. There is a group there that is building a replica of Shakespeare's Globe Theater. And they're just doing it sort of one piece of board at the time, and they're getting there. But they run a small Shakespeare festival there called Shakespeare's Globe Theater in America. And then in Valdez, right off of Interstate 40, there's a long-running history play there called From This Day Forward, which is about the Waldensians that came over from France quite some time ago. And then going to the southern part of the state, in Pembroke, there is an outdoor drama called Strike at the Wind, which is about Henry Barry Lowry, who is who was an outlaw back at the turn of the century and sort of considered America's Robin Hood.
Now, what are some of the challenges? We mentioned the fact that North Carolina has the distinction of having the three oldest continuing running outdoor dramas. A minute ago, we alluded to the fact that Unto These Hills is dealing with some new challenges because of some other opportunities that are in that area that may be competing for tourism dollars, competing for hotel rooms. But what are some of the other challenges that these outdoor dramas face in terms of paying the bills, finding the right people? Obviously, there's a lot of things that they have to deal with each and every year when they try to roll one out.
Well, of course, our greatest asset is that we're outdoors. But when you're outdoors, you also have to contend with the weather. And so rain can be a real bugaboo. Usually these shows don't get a lot of rain. I guess about the most any outdoor drama will get rained out in a summer is maybe three times. Unless, of course, there's a major hurricane, as they just had down in Texas. On a normal summer, it's rare to have a show rained out. But that's a big challenge. But also, because they're part of the travel and tourism industry, they have to contend with some things they can't control, such as recently it was the outbreak of SARS or terrorism. If that were to crop up again in North America, that would have a significant impact on leisure tourism. But the economy also has an impact, whether or not we go to war. Some years ago, Interstate 40 on the North Carolina-Tennessee line was closed down because of a rock slide. And even before that, we had some medical waste that washed up on the shores of the Outer Banks. And sometimes the media blows that out of proportion, and people from Ohio and Kentucky decide, well, rather than going to North Carolina, maybe we'll go to Florida this year.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because in talking with the folks who are in the travel industry this year, one of the things I've heard over and over is that people are flying less and driving more. So it means they're maybe not going as far. They're staying closer to home, maybe one or two states over, or maybe even staying in their own state. So does that have a benefit, you think, for some of these dramas where they're getting folks who say, hey, this thing is just down the road and I've never been to it?
It does, and it certainly is good for the outdoor dramas that have a large population within, say, 200-400 miles. When you get further out west in, you know, New Mexico and Utah, when the population is smaller, spread out more, then they have a little tougher time. But right now, it's clear in the leisure tourism business, people are flying less, driving more this summer. They're not driving as far away as they used to drive. They're staying closer to home, and they're taking more 3 and 4 weekend getaways. The days of the 2-week vacation, I'm afraid, are past us. And all of these things, I think, are in support of the outdoor dramas, as well as the increased sense of patriotism that people feel since September 11 of several years ago. There's a real sense of ownership and support of our heritage in this country, and that also plays into the hand of the outdoor dramas.
Visiting with Scott Parker with the Institute of Outdoor Drama here on North Carolina Report. Before we wrap up, we have a few minutes left, but I wanted to make sure we talked a little bit about this website. You've taken a scenario where you've created a mechanism, or a more improved mechanism, for folks to, if they're making travel plans, can find out if outdoor drama is available where they're headed. Tell me a little bit about this website.
Well, it's a huge website. It just seems to get a little bit bigger every year, but it's a great tool for people who want to plan out their vacations to go to see any of these outdoor theaters, whether they be Shakespeare festivals or religious dramas or outdoor historical dramas. This website, excuse me, amongst other things, has a directory on it, and you can go to that directory and click on the image for the map for any state in the nation, and it will show you exactly where all of that state's outdoor theaters are located, and it will give you plot summaries for all of the plays. It gives you tourist information, so you'll know where to book your rooms, dates, addresses, phone numbers, all of that kind of information, so it makes it a breeze to go to visit any of the outdoor theaters.
And at the risk of giving an internet address on the radio, what is that address if folks are interested?
Well, there's an easy way to do it. If you go to one of the major search engines such as Google or Yahoo, just to do a search, if you just type in outdoor drama, you'll find that this website is at the top of the list. But that's the easy way. But address itself is www.unc.edu/DEPTS, that's short for the word departments, /outdoor, and that will also take you right there.
Any final thoughts? We have about a minute or two left. Scott, any final thoughts about what direction we're headed with some of these dramas? I mean, we mentioned earlier we might be seeing more of them. I guess this is, as communities look at innovative ways to draw people in, this is one of the things that they might be looking at.
It is, and of course, tourism now in many states is the second or third largest industry. And in fact, I think it may be the third largest industry in the nation. So the economic impact of these theaters can be significant. Here in North Carolina, the larger theaters will have an economic impact of maybe $20 million annually. Up in Ohio, it's and a couple in Texas, it's $25 million a year. So when you look at it nationally, the economic impact on the travel and tourism industry is close to $500 million a year.
That is an amazing statistic, and that's probably a good place for us to end the program. Scott Parker, always a pleasure to have you on the program. We'll probably get you on next year and get an update on how some of these outdoor dramas are doing and the growth and the change that we're seeing in this particular genre. So thanks for being with us. We do appreciate it. Scott Parker with us today. He is with the Institute of Outdoor Drama, and we're going to give you that website again, www.unc.edu/DEPTS, which stands for departments, and /outdoor, just spelled like outdoor. And that will get you there. You can also, of course, punch in outdoor drama on your favorite search engine, and that'll also get you there as well. Find out about these outdoor dramas, 118 theaters, 37 states, a lot of different things to see and do all across the U.S. and all across North Carolina as well. Again, we've been visiting with Scott Parker with the Institute of Outdoor Drama at UNC Chapel Hill on this edition of North Carolina Report. It is a public affairs presentation on the North Carolina News Network. I'm Bruce Farrell, thanking you for being with us.